God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, friends, for tuning in to Southwest Radio Church. This is Pastor Larry, your host. We all know 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Now let's stop there for a moment. Clearly, this scripture is calling God's people to integrity. A great exercise for an individual Christian or a church would be if Jesus wrote a letter to me or to our church, what would he affirm? What would he rebuke? The most important challenge facing us today is to restore credibility. Public failings and hypocrisy have weakened belief in the church's moral authority. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul's conclusion about a breach of moral standards in the church is basically this: it is not my job to condemn the world. It is my job to make sure the church is holy. Is it possible that the reason the church has so little credibility in the world is because we are not the alternative community Jesus has in mind? Is it possible that the church is often seen as a tool of oppression and hypocrisy because so many of us rail against the sins of the world while many in the church are secretly practicing the very things we are condemning? Whether it is abusive leadership, financial scandals, or sexual scandals, we must start by being people of integrity. God is holy, and he calls us to be a holy people. Two of my favorite prophetic writers have been working together on a new book titled Antichrist and the Final Solution. One of those writers is Dr. Tom Horn, and the other is Terry James. Terry James is with me on the phone. I've already recorded shows with Dr. Tom Horn. On today's program and on the next, we're going to be visiting with Brother Terry. He's a dear friend. We've had him on before, and he has invited me to take part in two of his recent book projects. It's always a blessing to be with Terry James. He's an amazing man. Terry, thank you so much for your life and ministry.
Well, Larry, it's such a pleasure to be with you, and I thank you for the compliment and for your agreeing to be with us in some of these projects. I mean, that has made them all the better.
Right, they get better and better. And it seems like there's more and more stuff that's on the edge to talk about. It's very prophetic.
Really, I mean, it's an amazing time, and I always like to say it is a very troubling time, but a very exciting time.
Right, it really, really is. Well, as we get into our book, tell us about Hitler and the Final Solution. What were the factors that contributed to his rise to power, and what's the relevance of all of this for us?
Well, we go through that in the first chapter of the book, Tom and I do, Tom Horn and I. And the real relevance, I think, is that Hitler, he had a satanic hatred for the Jews, of course. And it all came from the fact that he blamed the Jews, first of all, for being the bankers and so forth that helped drive Germany into bankruptcy, and even blame them for starting the war and a whole lot of things like that. So from that, our book subtitled The Final Solution, Hitler, while he was incarcerated, wrote Mein Kampf, his My Struggle. And in that, he wanted to get even with the Jews was one thing. He wanted to turn everybody against the Jews so he would, I guess, have an enemy, a straw man to beat and so forth. And so he blamed the Jews for everything. They were an inferior race and this sort of thing. And the whole concept of the book was that most people, young people particularly, they've been so miseducated with regard to history, American history, but even world history, that they simply don't know about the Holocaust. They don't know about the final solution that Hitler finally concocted with Goebbels and the others to get rid of the Jews of the world. It was just a satanic plot. But most of the young people of the world don't realize what that's all about. They don't realize that those sort of people still exist in this world. And that was when Tom got in touch with me and wanted to said, did you know this is timely because the young people don't realize where they're headed with regard to the coming tribulation, because Antichrist is going to be Hitler on steroids plus a Superman cape. So he said, we need to do something on this. to kind of put it in a book, that put this whole thing in a book, not only the Holocaust and what happened with Hitler and all that, the Jews, the hatred for the Jews, but a book that will lay out Bible prophecies from this moment forward. So that's what we've done. And I think this book will re-educate the people who maybe hadn't known about the history but forgotten it. And then the young people who have never even been taught about the Holocaust and all of these things. And the reason that's so important is because the tribulation, as I said, is going to be the Holocaust on steroids, not only for the Jews, but for the whole world of people left behind when the rapture occurs. And young people need to know this. And by knowing this, it may at least turn some heads in the direction of wanting to know more about Jesus Christ, which is this book, as all of our books, your books, my books, all of our books are about, is the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace.
Well, I think this is meeting a real need, because I've seen surveys. So many of our students just don't have an idea of why America is such an exceptional place. What we're doing today, America's the bad guy. You know, that's all we hear. They want to burn American flags. They want to burn American statues. And this has been so sad, because I think this is really setting up tomorrow's generation for a terrible, terrible experience in the Great Tribulation. I mean, the tribulation is very real. And I know some Christian school teachers who teach in public school, and they're basically, they're really good people, but they're fighting a losing battle. And I think the ignorance about the way Israel has been treated, the history of anti-Semitism going back to the book of Esther and Haman, it's just a great pity to me. So thank you so much for the work you've been doing. But what about Antichrist and the final solution? I mean, the devil's plans regarding the so-called Jewish problem have not changed, have they?
No way, they haven't changed. And that is because I'm convinced that, and I believe it's not original with me, but Antichrist wants to get rid of the Jewish race, because that's what Satan's plan is. Satan's own fate is sealed and delivered according to God's word, the prophetic word. He knows God doesn't lie. He knows God can't lie. He knows God is omnipotent, that is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. And he cannot lie. And yet he still thinks he can win. Now, that, is, to me, is the ultimate definition of a reprobate thinking. You know, in Romans 1:28, Paul tells us that because the humanity has done all these things, that the perilous times, all the perilous times things that Paul points out in 2 Timothy chapter 3, because they have done these things, that he's going to turn them over to a reprobate mind, upside down thinking. Well, that's exactly what we've got today. And Satan is the apex, I think, of upside down thinking. He still thinks he can win. That's what somebody said, that was Einstein, somebody said that's the definition of insanity, to keep doing the same things over and over, believing the result's going to be different. Well, that's Satan. He thinks by getting rid of the Jewish people, because God has made so many promises to Jewish people, the land and all of the other things, that they would be a people perpetually for God, and they'd be his people, and they will ultimately be the apex nation of the world in the millennium. And Satan thinks if he can break all of these promises that God has made to the Jews, then God's word will not be true. God will be proven a liar. And somehow, I believe, Satan believes that that is going to get him out of his ultimate fate, which is plainly the lake of fire, along with all of the angels who followed him, and sadly, all the people down through the years who have failed to accept God's redemption for their lives. But I believe that's a big part of it.
Well, as we look at prophecy and scheduling, we believe that we have the rapture, and that's followed by the tribulation. How does the primary reason for the tribulation relate to Israel?
Well, because I think God wants to bring out of Israel a remnant. And when the rapture occurs, of course, all Jews who are not saved are the same as Gentiles who are not saved. They're going to go into the era we call the tribulation when the rapture occurs. And the tribulation era itself is, the purpose of it is to bring a remnant, one-third of Israel, God's word says, out of that tribulation era in order to make for him a people, a nation, as was promised, an apex nation of the world, from where Jesus will rule on the throne of David And David will rule a co-regent and a supernatural body. And David will rule the nation. Jesus Christ will rule the whole world, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I think that this is the primary purpose, to bring a remnant out of the rapture and then going to the tribulation, bring a remnant of Jews for that nation out of the tribulation. And they've got to be tried by fire. They've got to go through this testing. And it's the same for the Gentile world. The Gentiles of that era who are saved during the tribulation, the seven-year period, Daniel's 70th week, Gentiles who will be saved during that era, and there will be, I believe, millions of them saved, will go into the nations of the world that God ferrets out at the end of the tribulation. The sheep goat judgment, where he puts the goats on his left and the sheep nations on his right, and all who are in the sheep nations will be those who are saved during the tribulation. They will go into the millennium to repopulate the earth in physical bodies, and there'll be the Gentile world and then also the Jewish nation as apex nation. So that's the whole purpose of the tribulation and God's dealing with the Jews, I believe.
Yes, and I think, when you look at Revelation 7, you have the 144,000 Jewish evangelists going out, and then I just love Revelation 7:9, where it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes," and so forth. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen in the future, which I think the preterists miss and the amillennialists miss. And certainly we hold to a pre-trib rapture and to we're premillennial. And I think that, as you point out very well, that really opens the door for us to see what's really in the Word of God. But Terry, what about the developments that are now taking place for setting the stage for a global order? There is stage setting. Tell us about that. Tell us about how some of the current events that we're seeing right today, right in 2020, how all of those things fit.
Wow, where do I start with that? What you have to do is look at the whole thing leading up to the election of 2016, the presidential election, and look at that, what has happened since. Every day there has been an absolute insane rage against this presidency, against this presidency, and against this country as the direction that Donald Trump wants to take it. Donald Trump is not a godly man. He's rough around the edges. You and I have discussed this before. I am a Donald Trump fan from the very beginning, and I continue to be supporting him. Matter of fact, I'm even amused at him, and probably shouldn't be sometimes with some of his things he says, but he's not a godly man necessarily, but he is God's man. God put him here specific for the purpose of keeping America as it is right now, for whatever reason, whatever purpose. But the satanic rage against this nation, against the founding fathers, is so intense that it has to be satanic. As I've heard Limbaugh say and others say, nobody, and psychologists say, nobody could stay in this state of rage under normal circumstances for this long. And it's because every day they are being ginned up by national media, mainstream media, who say how terrible Trump is, how terrible America is under Trump, how bad America has been in the past by being a nation that has just gotten all of its wealth and everything from other nations. And this is not new. This has been going on since I was a young man. I can remember as a young man in college, when I was about, in maybe sophomore year, we had a young man, probably 35 to 37 years old, sitting up there in a suit, very nice looking man. He's probably a Hollywood looking type guy, and he stood up there and lectured to us every day about how terrible America was. And its founding was how Marxism and Leninism was so much better across the world, and how eventually socialism would be the way that would save mankind. And this is something that's been taught even when we were in grade school, that had the very vestiges of the beginning of this. And then as we got into college, in 61 through 63, 64 for me, well, you heard this over and over. So it's been a long long process of miseducation of the public. So now we've come to the point that all the young generation is beginning to believe this stuff. And every day the media has hit this. Every day the other party, the leftists, have hit this. And it's all because of Satan's desire, I believe, to bring in his, so we've heard the term so much, New World Order or One World Order, wants to reestablish Babel, in effect. And he wants to create a new order. America stands in the way. It is the apex nation of the world. It is the most powerful nation of the world to this point in history. In every way, except perhaps spiritually, I think it is almost equivalent in its founding in some ways, spiritually. But as far as pure power and ability to create industry and everything else, there's never been one like it. And so it must be taken out of the way because we believe in autonomy, sovereignty, and sovereignty must be destroyed in order for Satan to set up his man for Antichrist. I'm going to bring in the set the stage for bringing in his man Antichrist, the Antichrist regime, and it's simply not the time. Not time yet. And God is showing the world, I believe, that it's not time yet, because they've tried everything they can to bring this nation down, bring this presidency down, and yet he's still there. And I really believe he's still going to win this election, because not because of anything except I believe God has shown that this is the way it's going to be until the rapture occurs. And I really believe that.
Well, I'm really shocked at the number of professing Christians who are opposed to Donald Trump. And if you go back to 1848, to the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels came out in German, then in English, and then in French, I don't know, 172 years ago, it speaks about the abolition of the family. And it shocks me that Christians, professing Christians, can be going along with the abolition of the family, because we see the family's in great trouble today, and look what's happening. So I think you're absolutely right, and we certainly need to pray for our country. Well, Terry, we're up against the clock, and we're going to have to continue this discussion on our next program, but thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Larry. Look forward to it.
Matthew will come and tell you how you can get Antichrist and the Final Solution.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new book by Terry James and Tom Horn titled The Antichrist and the Final Solution. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. The operators will be happy to help you place your order. If you'd rather write and place your order, just send that letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order on our website at swrc.com. We also have the best-selling book by Tom Horn titled Shadowland. You can have a copy of Shadowland for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, The Antichrist and the Final Solution, and the book Shadowland, for a gift of $35. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
In a never-before-published letter to his family, American soldier Leon Morin reveals something that has been hidden in a dark corner of history. Nazi soldiers who committed the most gruesome atrocities against 6 million Jews would simultaneously, quote, receive God on Sundays in beautiful churches built in the concentration camp at Dachau.
On July 9, 1945, about 6 weeks after the U.S. liberation of Dachau, Leon Morin penned a 10-page letter to his family describing his observations of the worst concentration camp, Dachau. Quote, "It will take 12 pages like this one to just give an idea about the best organized butchery in the world. The gruesome part was how they killed those people. either by torture, by the firing squad. Mutilation was starved bloodhounds, of which each camp had about 50 or 60, and by mass gas poisoning, close quotes. Much of the unspeakable torturous activities of the Nazis have been documented and taught, but the religious beliefs of the Nazis remain rarely discussed.
Leon Morin documented this in his letter. I quote the letter. For instance, nobody ever mentioned that right among those chambers of horrors stands beautiful churches where the same soldiers of the Reich used to receive God every Sunday, and where those same churches are always packed with people every day of the week. I can't understand that, and there's nobody in the American army who does either. Close quotes. The Nazi Germans were mostly Lutheran Protestants. Perhaps now we better understand why bold German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was disgusted with the church in Germany and called German Christians to repent of their sinful collaboration with evil.
Martin Luther, the German theologian and seminal figure of the Protestant Reformation, influenced the German hatred of Jews early in the 1500s. In 1543, Luther authored a booklet titled On the Jews and Their Lies, in which he called for the burning of Jewish synagogues and prayer books, banning Jewish religious practices and preaching, and ordered that their property and valuables be confiscated by the government. This was the same Martin Luther who wrote commentaries on Romans and Galatians and who refused to leave Wittenberg during the outbreak of the bubonic plague in the late 1520s so that he could minister to the sick and dying. Lutheran churches throughout the world have in recent years issued statements apologizing for the Holocaust. In 1982, the Lutheran World Federation issued a statement that, quote, "We Christians must purge ourselves of any hatred of the Jews and any sort of teaching of contempt for Judaism," close quotes.
Obviously, some Christians are sadly confused on some issues. Recently, a group of pro-life evangelicals organized as a group of pro-life evangelicals for Biden. Their statement acknowledges that, quote, "As pro-life evangelicals, we disagree with Vice President Biden in the Democratic platform on the issue of abortion, but we believe that a biblically shaped commitment to the sanctity of human life compels us to a consistent ethic of life that affirms the sanctity of human life from beginning to end," close quotes. They are obviously ignoring the many other egregious beliefs stated in the Democratic platform.
Frequent guest and good friend and contributor to Southwest Radio broadcasts has been William Federer. Bill is a veritable walking history book, and from his book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, quoted on September 21st in WesternJournal.com, come these excerpts. Prize-winning historian Arthur M. Schlesinger, Jr. wrote in a 2007 New York Times op-ed, "History is to the nation as memory is to the individual. As persons deprived of memory become disoriented and lost, not knowing where they have been and where they are going, so a nation denied a conception of the past will be disabled in dealing with its present and its future. If history is the memory of a country, then America has national Alzheimer's." John F. Kennedy wrote in the introduction to The American Heritage, New Illustrated History of the United States in 1960, quote, "History, after all, is the memory of a nation. Memory enables the individual to avoid making the same mistake twice." Judge Leonard Hand wrote, "The use of history is to tell us past themes, else we should have to repeat each in its own experience, the successes and the failures of our forebears." Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Carl Sandburg wrote, "When a nation goes down or a society perishes, one condition may always be found. They forget where they came from." Harvard professor George Santayana wrote in Reason, in Common Sense, in 1905, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." Patrick Henry said on March 23, 1775, "I know of no way of judging the future but by the past." Cicero said in 46 BC, "Not to know what happened before you were born is to be a child forever." Will and Ariel Durant wrote in The Story of Civilization in 1967, "History is an excellent teacher with few pupils." Alexander Solzhenitsyn explained the socialist takeover of Russia. He said, "I recall hearing a number of old people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that had befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God. That's why all of this happened." William Holmes McGuffey warned in his newly revised Rhetorical Guide in 1853, "If you can induce a community to doubt the authenticity of the scriptures, you have broken down the barriers of moral virtue and hoisted the floodgates of immorality and crime." Patrick Henry warned, "It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." Deuteronomy 8:19 says, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall surely perish." Psalm 19:7, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God."
It's been assumed for centuries that a prerequisite for the coming of the Antichrist would be a revived world order under a single and dominant power. Our special offer today exposes what the world power will be. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Our address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. When we offer an item for $30, we do not get to keep $30. We have to purchase these items we offer, which cost us about half of that. Then we have to pay the radio stations to play our program. We know you can get these items we offer cheaper at someplace else. But the little money we do get to keep goes for purchasing new items, paying radio stations, wages, utility bills, computers, and all the rest that keeps this ministry on the air. So when you look for a cheaper price online, remember the great program you just heard and say to yourself, "I'll support Southwest Radio Church because I enjoy their messages on Bible prophecy and Bible teaching." Thanks for being with us today. Join us here tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Terry James finish this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.